weekend. He's Bish. This is John Bishop's Alphabet Soup. City Talk 105.9.
Hello everyone, this is John Bishop and Calvin Roberts. This is the show that's called Alphabet Soup. This is City Talk 105.9. Apparently, we're the voice of Liverpool.
And the surrounding areas.
And the surrounding areas, as we tried to clarify last week. How are you, Mr. Roberts?
I'm alright, actually. Yes, I'm fine.
Yeah. Yes. You're looking well.
Really?
Yeah, you are, to be fair. Have you had a wash?
It's not like you.
What do you mean?
Well, you're doing all right until you mentioned anything about having a wash. But
No, I'm not.
The last time you passed a compliment to me, we were on letter C in the last alphabet soup, I think it was.
That word wasn't a compliment.
another misinterpretation. Yeah, but I'm okay.
Got any news, lad? Got any news?
Oh, lots of news, lad. Lots of news.
Well, go on, tell us some news.
I thought we could share it with our listener.
Oh, yeah.
One of the things behind the scenes going on.
Oh, yeah. Station news. But, other news, world
it's,
news.
It's confidential, like so it won't be open to the public until 2050 to the National Archives.
Exactly. This conversation will form part of the National Archives. They'll say the public nearly knew, but Kelvin Roberts and John Bishops didn't let it out the bag because they signed the Official Secrets Act.
That's right. So,
for those who don't know what the show's about, we sit here and warble on in the current fashion until we finish in an hour's time. And we structure the show primarily around a letter of the week. This week being the letter M. 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 The letter M. The letter M. And what we have a student who scurries away. Call Lee in Newcastle and send us stuff down, and we use that as a platform to have a chat if we haven't thought of anything else. Although I have to be honest with you, letter M, I can't remember the last time we did letter M and what we discussed then. Can you?
Things we liked about letter M. Was a motorway in there?
Motorway?
Did we mention how great motorways were?
But motorways aren't great.
Are you talking about this time last year?
Oh, no, I'll tell you what we came up with last year was the invention. The motorway invention. Remember we were talking about motorways and I said what we need to do is to make motorways like those walkways at airports.
That's right.
So that instead of, you know, when you're walking at an airport and you're in a rush.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you get to the moving walkway and you stop being in a rush because you just stand there and think, well, I'm not going to move because the floor's moving. And you wait until you get to the other end and then you stumble off and then you rush again until you get to the next one and then you stop again. And I thought, that's brilliant for motorways. All the motorways should be the same. All going at 70 miles an hour and you come on and you drive on and you just park and wait and wait and then park off. And it'd be perfect. It reduced motorway crashes. It means you could use your phone on the motorway. You could play drafts. You could just get out the car and have a little... You could sit on the roof of your own car going down the motorway having a picnic because it doesn't need a driver until you're about to get off and nobody can crash into you because they can't drive until they're... I think it's a brilliant idea.
It's definitely the future, isn't it? It's definitely the future. We are shaping the future on this
show.
It
would have severe environmental consequences, I'm sure, due to needing a continuous motorway moving all the way. I'm sure the polar bears wouldn't be happy. But at the end of the day, how much time do they spend on the motorway? I'm sure if a polar bear had spent any of its life on a motorway, stuck on the M6 around Birmingham, I'm sure it would have said, look, fair enough, we'll sacrifice the ice caps in order to solve this problem. We are shaping the future. We're not shaping it the way we want it to be, but it's getting... I've had a tough week, I've got to be honest with you, because... Oh, and this does have the letter M in it. Melanie, my wife, who you've met and heard shout at me, she...
This was your first and second wife, wasn't it? All rolled into one.
Yeah. Yeah, she may well be my third wife as well, the way things are going. In fact, from our old show, did we ever keep that phone call where she phoned up on the answer machine?
Oh, I've still got it in there somewhere.
Oh, that would be funny if we could find that. Yeah. That would be funny, because that it is them, and it is a Melanie. So, but she's been away, so I've had the lads this week on my own, and it's not been as easy as it used to be.
Was it ever easy?
Yeah, but there's stuff now, like when they were little, I could stuff any food in them, whereas now, on Tuesday, they wanted a curry. They wanted me to make a curry. Have you made curry?
Only courtesy of Mr. Lloyd Grossman. I've never actually made a curry. You know, I just stick a thing up the jar off of me chicken.
Well, isn't that making curry?
Well, no, because people, you know, people making the curry will make their own curry with the water and the powdery stuff that you can buy.
Oh, no.
So literally, you just...
Well, this
just,
is it. All
the,
I did...
You just poured the Lloyd Grossman over a bit of chicken.
No, it wasn't the Lloyd Grossman. Some tin. Some tin of stuff. You pour a tin in and half... Put half a bit of water in the tin, then pour that in, and then you make it up again. And it was one of those things where you look at it and go, well, that should take 10 minutes. 2 hours. 2 hours it took me to make a curry. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe how hard it was. And then when I made it, I'd made this curry, and I put it down. Daniel comes in, sits down, says, I don't like curry. I said, what? He said, I don't like curry. I said, I spent 2 hours on that. You like curry? He said, I don't. I said, you do now. Eat it.
I thought you said the kid said he wanted a curry.
Well, this is it. One said he did. He said, we want curry. So that made me assume the bit of discussion. What he should have said is, I want curry, and I don't care if they go starving.
I guess he's a senior one, is he?
Yeah. But as it happens, the youngest one now eats curry. Admittedly, it took him a long time.
He wasn't
an enthusiastic curry eater, but he's at it.
Curry's good.
Mm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you know my favourite curry place is? I know we shouldn't really do, free advertising here.
Doesn't matter, no one listens.
It's the one in...
You can advertise what you want. I'm sat here in my Adidas trainers. Hey, I've just driven me out here to work. Got my fat face shirt on. Come on, give us some freebies.
How is that Nescafe coffee?
Oh, this Nescafe coffee. It's blended from three of the finest beans.
Absolutely. With a tater lal sugar.
Oh, it's lovely.
I don't know what brand of milk is like, but it all comes out the same thing, doesn't it? The Sanam Curry House in Whitechapel. Beautiful.
Really?
Beautiful. I was in there last night, actually.
See, if you find a good curry house, what happens, I find, with restaurants, unless they're a chain restaurant, so that they have a formula, but if you get a good restaurant, what happens, it's good for like 4 or 5 years, then it sort of goes off. And you know it's gone off because the chef realises that it's good and they're getting more customers in, but he's not getting more money. So he starts asking for more money. They have a row with him. So he has a hissy fit, leaves, goes to the main competitor somewhere else down the road, and then he starts doing it there. So then they struggle for the chef because they think it's not the chef that's bringing them here, it's the waiter, or it's the ambience, or it's the curtains. And then the food starts going off and you start going downhill and all the rest of it. You get that in every type of restaurant except in a good curry house, except a good Indian curry. You get a good curry house and it's always a good curry house. You can go there 10 years later and it's still a good curry house. Is that not true?
No, it's not true. I can name one place.
No.
Which I won't.
Name it.
For fear of reprisals.
Name it.
I might get thrown, like, you know, onion barges at me in the street.
Name it. Oh, yeah, someone throws food at you, you're going to object. Name it.
Well,
name it.
I'll name the location. Go on then. People can make up their own minds about which one I'm talking about. But they're based in Stanley Street, and they used to be near our old home.
Oh, right. Yeah. I can't remember the name.
Now,
I know what you mean.
In my older days, in my younger days, you know, I used to live in there. But change of management, change of chef. It's not my favourite curry house anymore.
Hey, and if a curry house loses you as a customer, they know about it.
They're struggling.
Hey, no. If the Roberts factor moves away, if the percentage of market that Mr. Roberts absorbs moves away, then that's it. It's not going to be the same ever again.
Do you know what happened to me in midweek is I was in Chester one night. I went to this bar, I went to meet an old friend. And for the first time ever, I'm not saying this is a rarity, it just happened to me. I went into a normal bar in a normal street, wasn't a curry house, and I could have got Tiger beer on draft. How cool is that? Tiger beer and Cobra beer is what you normally find in the curry house. It's a lovely brew.
Tiger beer is Chinese, isn't it?
I don't know what it is. But it was on draft in Chester. That's all I cared about. But hey, I've never seen it in a pub.
Hey, how multicultural are we?
Well, tell you what. You know, tell you what, I got a bit of a shock going to Chester, though. Not been for a while. It's like walking onto the set of Hollyoaks.
What does that
everyone
mean?
Everyone seems to be walking around in designer gear.
I've got to go to Hollyoaks. I've got to go to Hollyoaks on Monday. I've got to go onto the set of Hollyoaks on Monday to interview someone.
Well, like as part of the show, are you a...
No, as part of the stuff I do for LFC TV.
All right.
The Celebrity Cop Club. I've got to be honest, I can't remember the names, actually, because I just got the message to say I've got to go. And I don't watch a lot of Hollyoaks. I will do, obviously, prior to Monday. So I'll be there, surrounded by all these...
Hey! Yeah.
How are you? Hey! I don't know why I said how are you, but hey! Have you watched it?
Hollyoaks.
It's big, isn't it? It's got big ratings, hasn't
it? It's doing well. It's one of those shows I just tend to flick on every now and then. I don't make a habit of
It's
going
the time,
on to watch
though.
It.
It's a funny time, isn't it? It's about 6:30 or something.
Yeah, but I think most people usually watch the omnibus, you know, on a weekend. I think they show it a couple of times on that T4 bonanza on E4. I get all confused over these T4s, E4s, B4s.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I sometimes watch it on a Sunday before I toddle in here.
I tell you what, mate, this is a hell of a conversation, mate.
It's local.
Hey,
we've discussed Chester, Hollyoaks. It's get more local than that.
Hey, it fits in within the remit of the broadcasting standards contract. Make sure local radio is
absolutely
local. For the local listeners about local matters, you can't get more local than a good curry house and Hollyoaks. Correct.
Which Hollyoaks babe are you going to be
not a babe,
at?
Not a babe, not a babe.
It's a bloke.
It's bloke. Oh. I'll tell you.
You get the one opportunity to go to the Hollyoaks set and you're going to interview a bloke.
A bloke, yeah. I'm all right with that. I'm all right.
You told your
that.
Kids this?
No.
I'm not surprised.
Oh, you know what?
There's a baby of beauties walking around that set.
Yeah, well, they might be interested in an older looking fella.
I like Roxanne. She's
Roxanne!
She's Miss February on my calendar. Which I'm
what calendar?
About. I've got a Hollyoaks calendar.
No!
And
I'm
absolutely devastated.
Oh, no!
Because
you live on your own. You cannot have a Hollyoaks calendar.
You know that.
Yeah, you can't be a man of your age with a Hollyoaks calendar. Because if you manage by almighty goodwill to cop off with someone and you take her home to your house and she sees a Hollyoaks calendar, it's over. It's not going to happen. She's going to go in and go... What are you doing with that?
She won't see it. It's in my games room.
Oh, yeah. Is that what you call your dungeon?
No, what I was saying, right, because I fancy Roxanne, but I'm a bit upset now because she was Miss February. So I've had to turn the page. I've lost her.
Who's in March?
I've no idea. I don't recognise her. I think she must be a newbie.
Oh, so they're all girls at least.
Yeah, it's not a boy's calendar.
Yeah, it's not a boys' calendar. It's a Hollyoaks girls' calendar. Oh, God, that's even more... Oh, God.
I'd say that's even worse.
It's like a Grange Hill girls' calendar.
What do you mean, Grange Hill?
Hollyoaks is. Because the average age of the characters at Hollyoaks is about 18, isn't it?
Well, maybe in the actual... show, but it's like in films, and you got 28-year-olds playing 18-year-olds.
Don't try and get yourself out.
Should we move on?
No. Yeah, because I'm feeling a little bit.
Yeah.
Feel like I need a bath after that. Every morning you have breakfast, looking at Roxanne from Hollyoaks. I'm on the radio. I can make you a star. Now, the premise of the show is actually to discuss things based around certain letters, as I said. Now, letter M is one of them.
Mm.
And one that's come up from a top researcher is McDonald's.
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 McDonald's. McDonald's. Kentucky Fried Chicken and a Pizza Hut.
Oh, it's God who sung that.
Some god-awful
God, that was one of those
fast
ones.
Food rockers or something?
It was one of those ones that became a ringtone. One of my kids' mates had it on a ringtone. I'm a ringtone. Oh.
You had to be mentally unbalanced to even buy that. It got into the top 10.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But it's one of those things now that's in my head now all day. It's just horrible, isn't it? It's just a horrible, horrible noise.
I'll tell you what, we actually would have won the Eurovision Song Contest with that.
Were they British?
Yeah.
You would have won.
We would have won. We would have sailed away with that.
Oh, they love all that stuff in Norway, don't they? Oh, and God, Holland and stuff like that. You know what I mean? You look at the crap that they put on. They love all that. But how many people do you reckon McDonald's saves daily?
How many what?
People. How many people eat at McDonald's every day? Now, this is probably wrong.
What, world or UK?
World.
How many people?
Yeah.
That'll be quite a lot. There's 6 billion people on the planet. I would say 7 million.
7 million?
Yes.
Now, how many people did you say were on the planet?
6 billion, roughly, give or take.
6 billion. So if you were to say 7 million, so what's a billion? Is it 100 million or 1,000 million?
It's 1,000 million.
It's 1,000
million. 7 is quite short, isn't it, actually?
Mm.
That's a small percentage, really.
For the largest fast food chain in the world.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking, because, you know, they don't... Oh, actually, yeah, they are in certain countries now. Okay, let me come back in with a higher bid. I will say... 55 million.
Oh, he's close. 58
million. 58
million. 58 are the big ones.
Mm.
58 million people saying, go on then. You know, when you go up to the council and say, can I have a Big Mac and one of them, we go, well, do you want to supersize it and then we can do this? Do you want to go large? It'd be 58 million people who went for one type of food and went, oh, go on then. It's only 50p more. And then end up with more. I mean, I don't do the whole McDonald's thing, but the last time I went into one was on Ed's Lane, mainly because I wanted to go to the loo, to be honest. And I was embarrassed because as I came in, a lad saw me and then I went to the loo. And when I came out, he stood there. And I thought, I can't obviously now not buy anything. Because it's obvious I only came in to go to the loo. And so I thought, I'll buy something. And I went up to the counter. And this is true, this. And I said, can I have a veggie burger? And obviously, the lad saved me. I hadn't been well trained. Because he didn't know what a veggie burger was.
How many stars did he have?
Oh, he didn't have a star. So
really?
His name
no
was
stars?
Paula. Not yet. And so now he's probably numerous stars. But this was probably about 6 months ago. And he's there, and I said, can I have a veggie burger and chips? And then he got the lad, because there's always one wearing a tie, isn't there? So he got the fella wearing the tie, who's obviously the boss, and he came up and said, that's for a veggie burger. What's that? And he said, oh, we've not reached that part on your training. So they organised the veggie burger. And then he turned around and he said, so what do you want? I said, a veggie burger and chips. And he said, do you want that as a meal? I said, what else do I want? How's it at? What else is there to do with a veggie burger and chips apart from have it as a meal? You know, the trainer must be crap, must they? If he said, you better make sure that they're going to eat it, because we can't sell it to them if they're going to have it as, like, Play-Doh or something like that. Anyway, so McDonald's is the first of the letter M's. I think we're coming up to a break now. Is that not correct, sir?
We could possibly go and have a quick mat break.
We'll go and have a mat break, yeah.
It's a 4-minute break, so if we just head down to St. John's, couldn't we get ourselves a quick mac veggie?
No, you can't. You can't.
A mac veg.
You can't if you're having a veggie meal. You can't nip in to have a veggie meal because they've never got them. Got them ready. And certainly the one I went into in Edge Lane, they had to phone up the head office to find out what a veggie burger was. There's not a lot of people in Edge Lane who go in and ask for a veggie burger.
I find that hard to believe.
I'm seriously, there's no... I bet you go into McDonald's and ask if they've got a veggie... You can go in and ask for any of their foods, and they're there. They've got them in that little, you know, that little sort of escape hatch ready to be eaten.
Yeah.
Never got a veggie burger. Never got a veggie burger.
Here's a question for you. What part of the chicken does the nugget come from?
The feet, most of them. the actual chicken, or are they just made up condensed stuff?
I don't know what's in them. Last time I had some Mac chicken nuggets, they didn't taste like chicken. I think I had some of your veggie in it, actually.
Yeah, yeah. They just fill it with stuff, don't they?
Stuff.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Stuff.
Just stuff. Yeah. Let's not go there.
Ugh.
Let's not go there. I think we all know what we're saying. We don't want to be saying that. Not on the air.
We'll get the Mac tummy.
Ronald McDonald has got to be the worst marketing invention ever. You know what I mean?
Well, 55 million people today can't be wrong.
58 million. 58 million.
Sorry, I forgot about that.
Oh, no, no, they're not wrong. But you look at him. You look at him. And if you were a little kid, you wouldn't think he looks like fun. He's a scary looking
clown.
Yeah, but there's some clowns that are happy clowns. Mm-hmm. He's one of those clowns that if he got into his car and his wheels fell off, he'd get out and be like Basil Fawlty and batter it with a tree. He doesn't look like a fun clown. He looks like one of those clowns that ends up being a murderer.
He's a bit like the Stephen King clown.
Yeah, Stephen King clown, that's it. That's what I'm saying. He's exactly like that. He's too tall, too lanky. And he hasn't got a big red nose, he's got a painted on nose, and you know underneath he's got some malicious thoughts. He just wants your money. So anyway, that was a good thing.
What?
Remember that film, The Mask?
What, with Jim Carrey?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Never saw it.
You never saw it?
I'll tell you what I did see the other day that was on Sky with Jim Carrey. It's The Truman Show.
Brilliant.
Very good film.
He's a fantastic actor. Fantastic, I think.
He's been a bit quiet lately, though, hasn't he? He's not done a lot of stuff. He's trying to break away from his comedy and be more of a serious actor.
I know, but his comedy's all physical. It's all pulling faces and all that, which after a while, I think, gets a little bit like... You know what I mean? Ooh, look. And then also, there's an age where you can't carry on pulling faces. You just look. For a start, your face gets baggy anyway. The older you get, you've got a bag of your face. So to pull it makes more effort.
Phil Kuhl still pulls it off.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But Phil Kuhl's one of those. He pulls a face and his head's just stretched. And then all of a sudden, he's got an elastic face. But also, I think with Jim Carrey, let's be honest. I mean, like it says here, The Mask was his 17th film role. Look, really? Mate, if I'd made 17 films... You wouldn't hear a lot from me either. If I'd been in Hollywood, made 17 films, I'd have a chill.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Spend my time surfing, reading the odd script, thinking about things. Yeah, loading it up. That's the way forward. That's the way forward. None of this drudgery, dragging your ass everywhere, trying to make it happen. No, that's the thing to do. Knocking on the head.
Anyway, was this leading to something about The Mask?
No. It was just on the list because it began with the letter M.
Is Madrid on the list? Big game on Tuesday?
No.
For the red side?
Don't talk to me about that.
FA Cup on Sunday afternoon. Obviously, we do the show live on a Saturday night. Sunday afternoon, it is a pre-record of Saturday night. We are honest about it.
Yeah.
So, if it is Sunday right now, good afternoon.
Yeah.
And Radio City and City Talk Sport follows... From 4 o'clock? Or is it 3 o'clock? It's 3 o'clock. There you go.
No, you're just making all that up.
I'm not making it up.
Yeah, no, you're not making it up, but it sounds contrived to say if it is Sunday, the sport follows.
Well, it could be Saturday. In which case, it wouldn't follow this show, would it?
I can't wait for us to get sacked. It's going to make my life so much easier to know when I'm doing something. I'm doing things now that I don't even know I'm doing until they've been done, and then I get told, yeah, you've done them then. Madrid, yep. Big game, Madrid, that fine city right in the middle of Spain.
Have you been?
I have been to Madrid. I was meant to go to the away leg, as you well know, and it turned into a disaster.
Oh, yeah, what happened? You ended up playing golf in Mallorca or something.
Malaga, what happened? What happened is my mate was supposed to book the tickets and then phone me to say, because we didn't have tickets for the game, but we thought we'll get the flight sorted, then we'll sort it out. And he phoned me to say, I found cheap flights, but we'll need to book them. Now, this is over Christmas. I said, well, book them then. He said, it's easy, yeah, from Liverpool to Madrid, straight back, bang, bang. I think it was £250 or something. I said, great, book them. So we went and booked them, and then he sent me the confirmation, and I found out that we were flying back before the kickoff. Which explains why they were the last of the cheap flights, because no one was on them. Because, obviously, he got the date wrong. So then we went to change it. To try and get out. And then looking at the price, he said, well, the best thing is to do, why don't we go the day early, because we've got a mate in Malaga and we can play golf. I said, that's a lot of hassle, innit, to go one day early. Well, let's go 2 days early. We ended up going four days before the game. And the idea was to play golf. I thought, well, that's a nice little break. Then we'll get a flight up to Madrid. So I'm thinking we're in Malaga. I'm not in Malaga. What happens is the day before he phones me up and says, I can't go. So now I'm going to Malaga to play golf with his mate before I go up to Madrid. And then I find out, whilst I'm on the golf course, on the last day I'm saying to this lad, look, I haven't got a ticket. I need to get to the airport. Obviously, we're in Malaga now. How far away is the airport? He said, you're not in Malaga. You're now 1.5 away from Malaga. I said, well, what am I doing here then? So by which time, there's no chance of getting the flight. And then I looked at trains, and I didn't realise, do you know how big Spain is? It's massive.
It's a big country.
I said, I'll just rent a car. He said, I'll take you 7 hours. 7 hours? So I said, right, well, have a look at trains. Do you have a high-speed train which takes two and a half hours or something, 2¾ hours? But it only goes twice a day. So then I was on a golf course and I couldn't go. So I just went, what a waste of time that was. I mean, it was good having a few days playing golf. The only reason I went is because Soft Ollie's booked the wrong flight and he wasn't even bleeding there. So don't talk to me about Madrid. But yeah, no, that should be good. That should be a good game to watch. You know,
will
Liverpool,
you be going?
In the time.
Will you be gracing Anfield with your presence?
I'll be gracing. Yeah, yeah.
We actually did. You know, I work on the other station.
Yeah.
With our good friend and colleague Neil Fitzmaurice, and we had a charity week last week. And we actually auctioned off Steven Gerrard's shirt for this Tuesday's game. So the shirt he's going to wear, you know, for charity. How much do you think it went for?
No idea.
£3,800. Not a bad little sum, is it?
That's a very good sum.
It's for the kids. £3,800. He actually rang up the show and donated it. It's a good lad, our Stevie.
He phoned up and said, I donate it.
He was listening to the show and rang up and said, all right, lads, got a shirt here. I have the shirt off me back, quite literally.
Did he?
Yes.
He phoned up Fitzy's show?
Yes.
Fitzy's his mate.
Yes. Your mate as well, isn't he?
No, he's more Fitzy's mate.
Who's the bigger mate?
I mean, I think we're friends, but I think his solicitor called it stalking. I think apparently standing in someone's garden naked saying, can I have your life? It's not being their friend. Can I be you?
Just for one day.
Just let me be you for a bit. Just a bit.
Oh, funny.
Just let me get a bath in your bath. Oh, where is it? It's one of those things, because so, like, if you're someone who you just think's brilliant at what they do, and when you meet them and stuff, you just want to talk about what they do, and like, which must be boring, you know what I mean? So you think, oh, we'll just have a chat about other stuff. And then I think, what else are you talking about? Have you made a curry lately, Steve? It's a lot harder than you think.
Somehow I don't think Stevie Gerrard has to make curries.
Oh, I'm sure he can do it with aplomb. I'm sure he can do it with aplomb.
Oh, I love it.
So what else was it? What else was auctioned and raised and all the rest of it?
We had one quite amusing item, which was a signed £5 note signed by David Moyes. A signed £5 note, and he went for £4.50.
I tell you what,
went for a few more than that.
To get a £5 note signed by David Moyes, not to get him to sign it, but to get a Scottish man
to give you a fiver.
It's frightening. But you know what? This that reminds me. So I got Paul McCartney once to sign a £5 note. I genuinely got Paul McCartney to sign a £5 note. He did this thing over at the Anglican Cathedral when he'd done this. What do you call it? An aria. Is like classical music piece, and it was playing the Anglican. This is, I don't know, this must have been maybe 20 years ago, 15 years ago, I can't remember. And so we went, me and Melanie went, and what happened? We parked the car down the back, and there was some kid saying, "Yo, can we mind your car?" So, yo, which basically means give me money so I don't brick your car. So I said, "Yeah, all right, I'll sort it out when we come back." Went in, watched the aria thing. Coming out, and I went to Melanie, "I've got no change for these kids. I'll have to go back in to get some." So I went back in, downstairs, through the cloisters. Next thing, I'm in the orchestra pit. I'm with the orchestra. I'm still with the orchestra, who've obviously finished. And they're all there with Paul McCartney, getting him to sign things. And I thought, what do I do? He's there. Paul McCartney stood there. So I put my hand in my pocket. I had the fiver. And it was the fiver I was going to get changed for these kids. And I just went, "Yeah, Paul." He went, "Yeah, I'll sign it across her face." So he signed it across the Queen's face. Paul. And I'm like that. And then I thought... do I say, "Have you got a quid for these kids?" And he just looked at me like that. Just moved on.
Quid for the kids.
I couldn't borrow a quid off you, Paul, because I don't want to get into this now. And when I come out, fortunately, the kids were there, so he ran away, sneaked away. And then, you know what?
You said we still got it, by the way.
You know what? I don't know what I've done with it. I honestly don't know what I've done with it. I can't remember whether I gave it to our Eddie or I might have. I think I put it into a charity auction. I think I gave it away at a charity auction.
Right.
In fact, I'm pretty sure it did through Arthur Johnson.
I mean, technically, you could have had him arrested for that because it's illegal to deface the Queen.
Could have done, yeah, but I don't think as a case it would have stood.
Probably not.
I don't think with everything else that's gone on in Mr. McCartney's life, defacing the Queen's face would be the crime that would end his career.
She could have took his knighthood away. That would have taught him a
lesson. I don't think he had it then.
Oh, really? How far back are we going here?
I don't think he had it. It was about 15 years ago. How long has he been a knight? He's not been a knight that long, has he?
I don't know, actually.
He's not been a knight that long, not so.
How come Ringo's not a knight?
Because he's crap. Because he's Ringo. I mean, he played the drums. What else did he do? He was a lucky lad that he came here and he did all that jumping from Ross. No, I don't want to go back. And you can't knight somebody just for Thomas the Tank. It's just not enough. It's not enough of a global contribution.
Well, Paul got it for the Frog Chorus. He should have taken it just for that.
When you think of the money that he's generated. He has made some dodgy sounds, Danny. There must be sometimes where someone thought, "Does anyone?
What was that? What was that?
Does anyone want to tell Paul this is crap?"
Was that what we did with Michael Jackson?
Oh, Ebony. No, that was Stevie Wonder, wasn't it?
Was it say what you want to say. I wouldn't even do a duet at the O2 because Wacko Jacko was doing some contest.
Have you seen how mental he is? Did you see what happened? They had this press conference. Where he was meant to come on. They kept people waiting. People arrived. Early in the day, he was supposed to come on at 4. He came on nearly 90 minutes later. So he comes on 90 minutes after keeping it. He was on stage 4 minutes and then walked off.
Did he say anything?
He just said, "This is it. This is the last one. I'm giving this to my people. This is it. This is it. Woo! Yeah, this is it. This is it. Ah!" Yeah. Then he walked off. And The last time he sung was the MTV Awards, wasn't it, when he walked off after a couple of lines. So people don't even know he can sing. And they were getting 17,000 hits a minute on the O2 website when they put the tickets on sale. Ah. Oh, who would... I wouldn't go and see him. He's 50.
I would, but only for the reason that he's the only one I've never saw that, of all the years I've wanted to see people, I've never seen him.
No, what?
I've not seen him. I've not seen the Rolling Stones. I'd like to see them too before I pop it. Seen all the others. I've seen them all. Pearl Jam, Madonna, U2. Seen them
Pearl
all.
Pearl Jam?
Oh, Pearl Jam. Pearl Jam is a big American rock band.
Yeah.
Not the ones who did the dance version of Naked in the Rain.
Oh, right. So I thought you meant. I wouldn't put them in there with U2, Madonna.
Oh, Pearl Jam are a great band.
But the other thing it said as well is that he could make 50 million quid.
Well, don't you think it's a good thing, though, that it's coming to the O2, not to Las Vegas, for a change?
Why do you think that might be?
Because of it, yeah. Well,
exactly. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think there's a reason why he's doing it over here and over there. Because in America, he was on trial for alleged child abuse.
Which he was found not guilty of.
Which he was found not guilty of. But there'll be certain states, because of it, he can't play in. And all his debts are over there as well.
Oh,
so if he makes the money here, the money can be housed here rather than be taken by his debtors
well,
over there.
Well, he'd have to pay tax here, so why is he not doing his gigs over in Monaco?
No, he won't be paying tax here. There'll be a loophole. Wow. You know, the Rolling Stones have paid 1% tax since 1976.
Really?
1% tax. How mad is that? Because they just shift all the money out.
Mm.
And all he'll be doing is shifting it out. But the debtors can't get money earned somewhere else in the same way that they can in America. He'd lose that 50 million. Well, he wouldn't get 50 million, would he? Mm. I'd love it, though. I'd love him to try and give it a go. Imagine that. Imagine Michael Jackson saying, all right, I'm going to put on a concert, and a fella in a pub going, look, I'll give you 20 minutes. I'll give you 20 minutes after the bingo. We do the bingo every Friday. I'll give you 20 minutes after the bingo. All right, but if you're crap, you're not back Saturday. Look, you're 50 quid up front, and then I'll see how you go. See how you go. See how the punters like you.
I mean, the guy is 50 now, though, isn't he? So
but that's what I mean. Like he's 50, he's high energy show. He's not going to be high energy now, is he?
Yeah.
It fits in with this. It's M for Michael.
Well, it does, you know.
Michael, I was going to say something then, but I won't. Yeah. I know.
Yes.
So, we'll see. When do you get a ticket? You're a man in the know.
I might well do, yeah. I'll see. When is it? Is it like...
July.
Now? July. Mm. Well, there's enough days to choose from, isn't there? He's doing about 20 or 30, is it, he's doing?
Yeah. I thought it was 20 or something. But you just get on the phone, say it's Kelvin Roberts.
I don't like all this, though, what they do with these concerts, where you've got to go to them. We're not going to come to you. You've got to come to us.
That's it.
Don't like the way that's going, that. That's the attitude Madonna had.
People, yeah. It's money, mate. Money. Why take a show on the road when all the people will come to you?
Well, exactly. I mean, you got your concert ticket for someone like me, a pauper. You know, I've got to pay for my train ticket.
Yeah.
I've got to pay for my hot dog.
Yeah.
Pay for my hotel.
Yeah.
You know, got to pay for my escort.
Yeah. Well, you don't need to be taken anyway, do you? Yeah. Oh, exactly.
So it adds up, doesn't it, for the average punter?
Oh, it does,
do. You know what I mean?
Think they care?
Why couldn't he come back to Aintree?
Oh, yeah, why didn't you go to that one?
The stand back up again. I still got it in the storage somewhere.
Yeah. You could do the arena here.
He could play the arena on Grand National Day. You know that new tent that got erected? He could play in there.
He could. He could do the summer pops. Hello. Tell you what.
I tell you what,
if there was a city where Michael Jackson shouldn't play, it's Liverpool. not unless he's in a massive arena where he can't hear the audience, because someone's going to be shouting something at him. Andy. Where'd you get your nose from, lad?
Just bring back the tent.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
I missed the tent, you know. You know the big tent used to have at the Summer Pops?
Yeah, yeah.
There's something nostalgic about that. They've been in a big tent.
Yeah.
You know.
But there's a strange smell.
It was a man tent.
There's a strange smell in a tent that you don't get anywhere else, isn't it? You know, that damp grass smell. It just floats around and you think, oh.
It's all right. Well, you live in Widnes. You used to have the odd pong.
It's the letter M. in the alphabet soup.
I wonder if we did that for so long. How annoying would that get on your speaker? Have you turned your bass up now? Or is it
your
treble?
Well, it's the people tuning in.
And you go like...
But there'd be people going, I'm not sure I've got it. Mind you, you don't tune in. You know what I've bought for our kitchen? I've bought a DAB radio. I have invested in one. We had this radio in the kids because Melanie's away. What I've done is I've took the opportunity that every man needs to do when the wife's not in the house to throw tons of junk away. Yeah. Just stuff that we've had that's just rubbish. Rubbish. I mean, I know she likes some of the clothes, but I've got rid of them anyway. You've got to make space. And you can't have all that in shoes. But I got rid of this. We had this radio, and why we've persisted with this radio, I've no idea. We've got a radio that looks... If you ever see an episode of The Liver Birds on UK Gold or something, and you see them tuning in an old transistor radio, we've had this old transistor radio in our kitchen forever. You can't pick anything up. You get songs, and then halfway through the song, it comes back in. And then every now and again, you get the police radio coming through it, and all kinds. So I've got rid of it. I threw it out with all the other junk, and I went and bought this DAB radio, which is great. The sound quality is great, but it's lost the magic because you don't tune in. There's no tuning, is there? You just say press a button, and it finds it. And it finds it. When it finds it, the clarity's there, and it's wonderful. It's a really good listen, but it's not the same.
It's not, is it? It's not dialing in now. The channels, you know, they've copied. It's like TV on a radio.
It
you've
is
got channel one, channel two.
It is, and that little bit where you used to tune in to go, I might get the message of a spy somewhere coming through. Do you know what I mean? The chrysalis set of the pre-war days. Mm. So no. No, we've become a 20th century. But yeah, I've got that, and it is brilliant. It is brilliant, but I wonder what will happen. Is it going to go like the tellies? Have you seen these adverts now for the telly? Like, you know, hello, this is Joan who's phoned up about has she got Digitas and all that crap. You know, the telly's going to go digital, and then you're going to have to throw tellies away and all. Are we going to do the same with radios? Is it just going to go unless you're DAB? You don't.
Yeah, eventually. It's a bit behind the TV. It's not going to be switched. There's actually no date yet to switch it off. Because like the certain TV companies, I think Granada's due to be switched off in 2012, is it?
Well, Granada just sacked a load of people. They might be turned off next week.
I think the kind of figure banded around is about 2015 for analog to be switched off altogether. So you've got a few years yet to get your DAB. You'll be okay.
But did you see that with Granada? Did you see that? I don't like to obviously bring it down, but they've sacked all these people, laid them off. And you know what they said? One of the things that they're looking at doing to cost saving is to move the set of Coronation Street. How stupid is that? Where can it go? It's in Manchester.
Like brick by brick? Yeah. On the cobbled road?
We'll go and film Coronation Street in India. How can that save money? It can't go anywhere else, can it? I just find that amazing.
I can't see that happening.
Yeah.
People come up with these stories, you know what I mean? I saw one, you know, like when a story breaks, you get these like JPEG images that come around on emails. I saw a great one with Coronation Street. It had the Rovers Return all boarded up, you know, the cost cutting.
Yeah. That's what happened. There'll be two people in the whole programme. There'll just be Daisy Barlow and Ken looking at each other going, go on, Daisy, pull a sad face. Go on, Ken, look serious. So, lads, are we going to have a word off?
About anything in particular or just any words?
Just the letter M, lads. The letter M. Let's get it done. Let's get Bimbo on. Let's get on with our lives.
Okay. Hang on. Let me just put a few words in my head.
No, you can't do that. Put a few words in your head.
I've had a poor record recently. You've been beating me.
I know.
Okay. Right. I'm ready for it.
You ready?
I'm ready for it.
Ready? Go. Yeah.
Madness.
Mind.
What's the first sign of madness, by the way?
Don't know.
Slugs walking up your garden path.
The first sign about Suggs walking up your garden path.
Sorry. Madness.
No. That's a terrible joke, that. Go on.
Machine.
Oh, sorry, where were we up to? Might.
Mancunian.
Metal.
Matchstick.
Mangle.
Match.
Map.
Moon.
Maple.
Matherick.
Mersey.
Manager.
Mouthwatch.
Map.
I've said map.
No, you never.
I did say map.
Okay.
Come on, lad. Snappy. We've got listeners
here. All right. Missing.
Microphone.
Michael.
Mister.
Moonshine.
Mechanical.
Microphone.
I've said that.
You never said microphone.
I said microphone.
You're making this up.
I said microphone. This is the worst word off ever.
Microscope.
Microscopic.
Minuscule.
Microbe. Don't him. Don't. I tell you what, if this show lasts to Zed,
yeah,
we're going to have to stop the word off because it's getting embarrassing. Not only do we now pause that long that any entertainment value of it is completely lost, but we're also displaying our own ignorance of the English language to anyone who's bothering to listen long enough, because we just go, I've had four goals.
Well, it is giving people the opportunity at home to join in the fun.
Yeah. Hey, have your own word off. Come in.
There'd be kids gathered around the wireless now.
I tell you what, though, speed that we do it, they could have their own word off by writing in their suggestions, and we still wouldn't have come up with our second one.
And in the meantime, I thought of Matt.
Mouse.
Matted, you know.
No, but it's got to be a thing.
Milkshake.
It can't be a description. It's got to be his thing.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I've got mouse for the computer. There's loads of stuff. There's loads of stuff, but in reality, we haven't got enough of a vocabulary to do it.
Rubbish, aren't we? Should we go home?
Let's go home. Let's finish off on a high with the happiest record in the world. So whenever you're listening to this, and whatever part of the weekend it is, enjoy what's left of it. Take care from John Bishop.
Kelvin Roberts.
This is the Alphabet Soup. Thanks for listening. God bless.
Goodbye.
Bimbo, bimbo, where you gonna go, we old bimbo, bimbo? What you gonna do, we old bimbo, bimbo? Does your mommy know that you're going down the road to see a little girlie, oh? Bimbo is a little boy who's got a million friends, and every time he passes by, they all invite him in. He'll clap his hands, sing and dance, and talk his baby talk, with a hole in his pants and his knees sticking out, he's just big enough to walk. Bimbo, bimbo, where you gonna go, we oh? Bimbo, what you gonna do, we oh? Bimbo, bimbo, does your mommy know that you're going down the road to see a little girlie, oh?